Good morning, everybody. This is AGM Sunday. As with every Sunday, every day, Wellspring's vision is life with Jesus. It all hinges on receiving a message which needs messengers. That's our key focus today. That's what the words from the Apostle Paul are really all about in 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. We enter into life with Jesus through believing something. And we heard that something from someone, and then we pass that something, that message, on to someone else. So, what is the message? According to 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, that is, because according to the whole kind of deep, rich tapestry of Scripture, the good news or gospel can sound different depending on which part of the Bible you read. I love that. The Bible has lots of different ways of describing the Christian message, and they're not contradictory, they're complementary. They are different perspectives on this multifaceted diamond. Please be wary. You have permission, my permission, as if you needed it. Be wary of any one-sentence summaries of this good news, because it's too good to succinctly wrap up in a few words. That's because it's a story, not a statement. It's a cosmic thing that God is doing, that He's been telling for millennia, and that He's telling right now, and that He will tell. And you can't sum that up in a few dot points. It started right at the beginning, created everything good. It goes all the way back to His promises to Abraham and every person of faith after him. And it climaxes in Jesus, who's proof that God's promises are true. And then it's still a story He's telling in the life of the church, ancient and modern. The Christian message is rich and multi-sided. And the descriptors we get about that message are particular to the Corinthian church and indeed to Paul as a writer. So have a listen again to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So, if you're a Christian here today, if we are Wellspring Church, and we are, it's because we have been caught up into this cosmic tale that God has been telling and is telling right now, and He will continue to tell. It's an announcement. The old is overcome by the new, specifically new creation. And verse 17 is quite important to get, because if you hear it, it can sound quite individualistic in this translation. The ancient Greek that it was originally written in has it more like this: if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. So, not so much that you as an individual are a new thing, though you are when you put trust in Christ, but rather that God is doing one big new thing, and then you've been included into that. Throughout the universe, the new creation has come, is coming, will come. More on that in a minute. It's all possible because of being in Christ. That's one of Paul's favorite descriptors of being a Christian. Two words that mean an awful lot. In Christ is basically shorthand for everything Jesus did. And it's imparted to you and to me when we trust in Him by faith. And what's that exactly? What's imparted to us by faith? Verse 15 and 21 summarize it. Christ died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. Verse 21, God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's so rich. But for our purposes here, what we're trying to say is the new creation that someone who puts trust in Christ is part of is only made possible because the sin that is all the wrong done by us and done to us was heaped on Jesus's innocent head, such that a great exchange takes place. His life, for ours. His obedience for our disobedience. And if you've believed that message, there's a lot more to it, but that's the summary. You have entered into life with Jesus. You've believed something, but someone told you this somehow. You might like to take a moment to silently thank God for the someone who gave you this message initially, originally, in your life. Whether they knew it or not, or would say it like this, that person was a messenger. And they, of course, had the message given to them first. They gave you it, and that makes you a messenger too. If we're being technical, the phrase here is really ambassador, chapter 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, what do ambassadors do? Lots. One thing they do is they bring a message from home. 24 years ago, I traveled to Germany as part of a scholarship group. We got dressed up one night, visited the Australian Embassy in Berlin, and we met Australian officials there. They were dual citizens. They lived under German rules and jurisdiction, but their passports were also Australian. And it was hearing their Australian accents that really moved me. So they were speaking in their mother tongue, my mother tongue, but I was in a foreign land. They had the fragrance, the sense, the sound of home, though they lived elsewhere. Ambassadors do that. They embody one land whilst living in another. Christian ambassadors do that. They bring a message from home to people living far away from God. This is chapter 5, verse 18, the message of reconciliation, Paul calls it. Everything is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he explains that by saying, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins or trespasses against them, the world, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. So if you're a Christian here today, God has made you, this is going to sound weird, a messenger from the future. He's turned you into someone with whom heaven and earth is interlocked. Because remember, when you're in Christ, you get everything he gets. When he's raised to life, the future new creation has happened in the present. And when you've trusted in him, new creation has begun for you too. The resurrection of Jesus, I'm trying to use different language here to explain the same thing, the resurrection of Jesus has brought the future into the present. So the thing that's going to happen for all creation one day has happened in his resurrection on that day. When you're united to him, you walk and talk on earth with its sinfulness, its broken and corrupt systems, and that stuff passes away. You walk and talk on earth, and you're an ambassador for heaven, for true home. And that means the new creation has come already in Jesus. It's come in you, and it's all an anticipation for what's to come fully when Jesus returns. You are a living, breathing messenger from the future. And the message has made you a messenger. How do you go about that messaging? As a messenger, well, it says in verses 11 onwards, the manner and tone that a messenger should adopt as they carry their message. Describing his own style and his own commitments and that of his colleagues, Paul says messengers are humble, loving, and expectant. Chapter 5, verse 11. Since we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people what we are as plain to God. We are not commending ourselves to you again. Messengers are humble. They know that they do their messaging in full view of God, who sees all and knows all. Have a look at verse 14 again. The love of Christ compels us. Since we've reached this conclusion, one died for all, therefore all died. Messengers are loving. They've been gripped by a message themselves. And now the love of Christ gives them no choice but to share that and pass that on. Chapter 6, verse 1, working together with God, we also appeal to you. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Messengers are expectant. Hopefully you've met people like this. Maybe you are someone like this. When you share the message of Jesus with someone, you actually expect that God can bring about a day of salvation for that person then and there. One way of describing our year that has been and the year that's to come is indeed through this idea of message and messengers. We look back over the 12 months of Wellspring life. We've sought to be shaped by this message and we've sought to share it as messengers. 2 years ago, you'll remember I announced 4 key priorities for our church to help focus us and provide some goals. And praise God, there's been some progress in those priorities. Let me remind us of some. We've had thriving generations ministry as a priority for a couple of years. That's all ages and stages growing. Alongside her team, Anna Davey continues with confidence and passion to lead our various under-18s programs and ministries. Children of teenagers are trying to grapple with and are grappling and demonstrating this good news story. Outreach to Queenborough Rise, the retirement village and nursing home, continues to bear fruit under Noel's pastoral and loving ministry. Former 8am members and others who live there are being blessed. Our commitment to sharing meals together has provided deep and lasting introductions. Whether in homes or following services, we've had an increased energy to connect, having a space where we can linger a bit longer and connect beyond normal age and stage boundaries. Well, I think about the launch of our new 4pm congregation. That was a strong step in the right direction for church as family, treating each other as brothers and sisters, first and foremost, not age-specific demographics. And it's already hitting the mark in that way, relatively new as it is. Our discipleship pathway priority has had a great investment through our women's ministry, relaunched under George and Millie's leadership, with events that have been run already and another one on its way, as you heard. It's hitting the mark for women to go deeper with one another and with Christ. Well, I think about our multicultural conversations ministry, led ably by Tim and Emma. It's promoted deep engagement with each other, not just non-English speakers, but an intentionality to cross cultures in the name of Jesus and learn from each other. I think about our leadership empowerment priority, that is equipping the saints for the work of ministry. We've continued as a church to value ministry trainees. Josh Lattimore will soon conclude his 2-year MTS apprenticeship, and his maturity and competence as a disciple and leader has grown significantly. I think about welcoming George Humphrey as she discerns God's call to ordination. She's doing a ministry placement with us. I think about next year's plan to appoint a part-time trainee. I think about our commitment to deeply formed the mentoring ministry led by Ellie Firth. We support her by providing office and meeting spaces. She supports us by leading mentoring equipping courses. And you'll remember 12 months ago, I said local outreach was going to be the key priority for us in the coming year. And praise God, there has been some fantastic things happening in that area. What just was an idea, a random idea 12 months ago, is now a fully fledged, full color reality. Our refugee ministry has been a wondrous sign of God's grace. A wonderful opportunity to see life with Jesus shared. Our first family, overseen by the Community Refugee Sponsorship Organization, has had the blessing of a team of Wellspring members and other church members helping plan their resettlement and implementing it. Our second family is on their way, but their travel date is still coming. We're thankful for this opportunity to partner with God. Psalm 113, He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, and He uses us, values us in that process. Or I consider our schools ministry. You heard me say that was going to be a key thing in the year ahead. Wellspring has been able to form and sustain connections with both St Michael's Collegiate and Hutchins, and has gone into collegiate across two age ranges. We've had boys, grades 3 and 4s, on Friday afternoons, as they end their week at school, they spend time in our building, connecting with Anna and running in effect like a mini Energize program. And that gets them feeling welcome, that gets them meeting people. It's a privilege to see something prosper under God's mighty hand there. And our local outreach also extends to fostering hope and ensuring that their ministry continues to be supported. We honour and are inspired by Mary Blake, and we love her strong advocacy. And today, you saw this as you walked in near the door, it gives me particular pleasure to draw our attention to the new Handy 5 Mission Partnership Policy. You heard this announced in our ministry reports. It's a really great step in Wellspring's long-standing commitment to love our neighbours and love the nations. So from now on, 2% of all our income will be invested in our Handy 5 partners. It's got that name because it looks like a hand, 5, just a way of remembering it. Cambodia, CMS, Engaging Islam, Subbies, and a new partnership with Bush Church Aid through Southern Beaches Church Plant. And the balance of those 5 organizations means every dollar given will reach cross-culturally, globally, nationally, and locally, sharing this life with Jesus. So we're doing what 2 Corinthians 5 says. We are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal to people, not like without people, with people, through us. We are pleading, as Paul says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it's actually quite exciting to imagine that that appeal goes from us to Cambodian children. That God makes his appeal, be reconciled to me through you to subcontinental students, Muslims, even people as far as Cunha or Carlton on the peninsula. Be reconciled to God. Today is the day of salvation. As you know, this is my final AGM Sunday with you, and the time for goodbyes is still to come. And naturally, it prompts deep reflection on how much God has done, how far we have come over our almost 10 years together. Both now and beyond our family's departure from Wellspring, there's such promise and potential for richer and deeper and more expansive life with Jesus. Amidst the difficulties and excitement of change, I don't have any more novel advice or counsel than to keep close to him, but to pray to that end. Father, you are the gardener. Jesus, you are the vine. We are the branches, and we want to stick close as branches are to a vine, to Jesus. Let his words abide in us. Let him abide in us and we in him. We can do nothing apart from him. We can't bear fruit without drawing power, wisdom, and identity from our source. We want to bear much fruit to the Father's glory. That's why we've been chosen, appointed. We didn't do this ourselves. Amidst change, thank you that this does not change. Please, God, make it possible for us to see the fruit of our abiding. And when we can't, give us faith. But in today's context in particular, make us so amazed and captivated by the message that has come to us first, that you have reconciled us to you, that we want to share that and become messengers, compelled by love. Open us up, Lord, to the reality that you make this appeal through us, And we can see that appeal going out through our prayers, through our finances, to the ends of the earth. What a privilege it is that you would value us this much to co-work with us to achieve your ends. In Jesus' name, amen.